You are listening to another edition of the Block Report with the People's Minister of Information, JR. Today, our honored guest is the District Attorney of Alameda County, Ms. Pamela Price. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for definitely coming on, and thank you for what you've been able to accomplish in Alameda County. Ms. Price, I know that you were a lawyer in the historic Celeste Guap case. I believe it was around 2016, 2017. If I'm wrong, please correct me. But can you talk a little bit about the case of Celeste Guap? What happened in the case of Celeste Guap? And do you think that law enforcement in the Bay Area is capable of enforcing anti-human trafficking in Alameda County?
Yes, I was involved in that case. That was about 10 years ago that I and another group of women activists, primarily Black women, members of the Black Women Organized for Political Action, Richmond chapter, we took on this issue around this young woman being exploited and trafficked. And we were really offended by the way that the media kind of demonized her and made her out to be the problem. And people seemed to be ignoring the fact that she was a minor, that she was a very vulnerable young woman. And so we really felt it was our responsibility as Black women to change the narrative around the case, as well as to make sure that someone was holding law enforcement, that our community was holding law enforcement accountable for what appeared to be a terrible abuse of authority. It turned out that it was an outrageous abuse of authority that implicated multiple law enforcement agencies. I believe there were 9 agencies that actually had people or individuals and some groups of individuals that were involved in exploiting this young woman. And it represented a danger to all young women who are intimidated by law enforcement and vulnerable and did not have the opportunity to really report that kind of misconduct. So we took that issue on, and as a result of my activism around that, I was contacted by the family and asked to be involved in representing her. And at the point that I got involved, she had literally been kidnapped by law enforcement and some members of law enforcement and shipped off to Florida. And we learned that she was incarcerated there facing felony charges on pretty, really outrageous, illegal grounds. And so I joined the legal team that went to Florida and got her out of jail there. We were able to negotiate with the prosecutors there. We hired a lawyer. We engaged with folks in Florida and brought her back safely because there were a lot of death threats against her. And, you know, we obviously knew we were dealing with law enforcement. There had been one officer who had killed himself. So we knew that this was a very tenuous situation where violence had already taken the life of one person. And so we brought her back and were able to provide security for her and to allow her to be able to participate in the prosecution that started in Alameda County. I don't think it went anywhere in Contra Costa County or any of the other counties. Alameda, I believe, was the only county that actually tried to prosecute the officers, and it was an unsuccessful effort. So it was a real tragedy for our community. It should have been a wake-up call for all of us that, you know, people, particularly young people, are exceptionally vulnerable not only to sexual exploitation, but to the abuse of authority. And so certainly to answer your other question, there's no question that there are people in law enforcement who can and sometimes do abuse their authority. It doesn't mean all law enforcement by any means, but it really requires the leadership in every department to make sure that it is not happening within the department.
And what time period are we talking?
This started, I believe we learned that she had been trafficked starting at age 12. And so that would have been in the early 2010, really probably 2010. I represented her in 2016, I believe. And I think the final cases would, I don't recall exactly when those cases were ultimately dismissed or thrown out.
So now that you're a district attorney and not just a lawyer representing a client, what makes you feel that law enforcement, particularly in Alameda County, but in general, is capable of covering or is capable of protecting people against human trafficking when you saw the results of what happened with the case that you tried not too many years ago, less than a decade ago?
Well, let me say this. The role of the district attorney is broader than the role of a civil rights attorney. And I need to be clear. The Celeste Guap case was certainly not the first case that I litigated involving the exploitation or sexual assault of young women, where, you know, we had questions about what law enforcement's role was in it. It was not the first time. And it was not the first time that I had to challenge Alameda County District Attorney's Office on behalf of young women who had been sexually abused. So I have a long history and understanding about that, and I bring that lens as to my role as a district attorney. As a district attorney, as I have the duty to collaborate with law enforcement, and I have a very collegial relationship at this stage with all of our law enforcement partners, because it is important to public safety that we not only hold law enforcement accountable, but that we also recognize that every law enforcement agency is different. Every officer is different. We would like to see a basic minimum standard of constitutional policing that applies across not just the local law enforcement, but across the country. And I think that's something that we're all striving for. And so we have, on this issue of human trafficking, we work closely with investigators at Oakland Police Department, as well as the FBI, as well as other law enforcement agencies, the national agencies as well, to try to get underneath this billion-dollar business. The police are not the problem when you're talking about human trafficking. It's the profiteers who are moving not only human beings, but also guns and drugs.
But how can you say that when the people that are supposed to be protecting people, law enforcement, is the people that are committing suicide because of alleged guilt in the situation? Do you not think that if we have a corrupt law enforcement when we're dealing with human trafficking, and dozens of members of law enforcement were involved in this case, according to mainstream media, I think the number that they listed was 30, and no one got convicted, although someone murdered themselves over it. I mean, you don't think that that speaks to a systemic problem and not just the problem of a few bad apples?
I do think that there are systemic problems in law enforcement that are reflective of the systemic problems in the country. We have a rape culture. We have a gun culture. We live in times where women are objectified and over-sexualized, particularly young women, and particularly women of ethnic backgrounds, Black women, Asian women. That is not something that is limited to law enforcement. We have systemic racism and systemic sexism in the entire country. And I think that we have to address it, not focusing on one individual group in the system, because law enforcement is just one actor in the criminal justice system. I have to deal with the courts. I have to deal with my prosecutors and prosecutors around the country. I've been confronted by other prosecutors that challenge me primarily because I'm a Black woman. They don't acknowledge that I have earned the right to sit in this seat and make policy. And so that effort to tackle human trafficking across the board is a broader effort than just focusing on, you know, those particular law enforcement, that something that happened 10 years ago.
Well, I just want to applaud you on the work that you have been doing on behalf of the people. I am a lifetime resident of Alameda County, and one of the things that raised my eyebrows when you were elected was the fact that you took up for the people in cases of law enforcement misconduct. And we saw that you have been in power for about a year now, but yet, although before you had a year in power, there was a recall effort put out to go against what the Alameda County voters selected, which was Pamela Price to be the district attorney. What do you think about the recall effort, and what are your views about what's going on right now in regards to the recall effort?
We know that this effort to overturn the election, as you have appropriately described it, is a political effort. It's a political movement. It's not a grassroots movement. It is people who were invested in the status quo who lost in November of 2022 when Alameda County took a huge step forward. We were still moving boxes into the office, and I was in the midst of making the transition from candidate to district attorney when they started the recall. So it started almost immediately. Within 30 days of me being sworn in, I think the date on the firstchange.org petition is February 11th. And that speaks to the fact that once the people who were invested in the status quo and the broken criminal justice system realized that there had been a transfer of power, a taking of power from those that had maintained that power literally for 100 years, then they began organizing. This is part of a national movement a national strategy by conservatives who are targeting progressive district attorneys across the country. It's real estate investors from outside Alameda County. The major investor or funder of the current effort in Alameda County he owns the most real estate in downtown Oakland. So these are real estate investors, super rich folks that don't recognize or respect the will of the voters. In Alameda County, though, it is virtually impossible for them to do what they're trying to do because we have a charter. Alameda County is what we call a charter county. And under state law, if you try to recall a political person, you have to follow the charter of our county. And our charter, which was set up almost 100 years ago, maybe about 50 years ago, when Earl Warren was still the district attorney, he helped write the charter, so it's closer to 100 years ago. We have four things in the charter that make it virtually impossible for them to be successful. One is that anyone gathering signatures in Alameda County for a recall petition must be a registered voter in Alameda County. And so the national movement, when they do recalls in California and nationally, it's common to hire paid canvassers or paid signature gatherers and bring them in from all over the country. And we know that happened in Alameda County. They brought people from Michigan and other parts of California. They hired people who do not live here to get these signatures. And that's a violation of the charter, which means that the majority of their signatures are not valid signatures. The second challenge that they face is that the charter requires the registrar of voters to count the votes within 10 days, to count the signatures. And given the number of signatures, the registrar is physically, just logistically unable to do that. The third challenge, even if the registrar were to somehow manage to count these signatures, is that the Board of Supervisors is then required to hold the election within 35 to 40 days. And what that means is that people who live overseas or are military residents would not be able to vote because they would not have enough time to get the ballot and then mail it back. Also, because we are an incredibly diverse county, we have over 40 languages spoken in Alameda County, and our ballot have to go to all those folks, the registrar would not have enough time to translate, print, and distribute the ballots and get them back to complete this election within 35 or 40 days. The fourth challenge is that if, in fact, the recall were to get on the ballot, the charter requires that anyone who is running to replace me, my replacement, would have to also be on the ballot. And so someone or I guess several people would have to figure out how to run a countywide campaign and persuade the voters with less than 40 days on why they should be elected as a district attorney, or that they could do this job better than I can. And I think that, those things make it virtually impossible for us to have a recall in 2024.
It sounds like no matter what people's politics are, sounds like a huge waste of money and a huge affront to what the voters want.
It's a huge waste of money, and it is an undemocratic way. And to that point, the people who are locally who are participating in this are very clear that they did not vote for me and they did not support me. And they're just upset because the person they wanted to win lost, and the voters elected me, and now they want to have another opportunity, a second bite at the apple, to see if they can have a different candidate or a different person. So that's undemocratic. Once you have an election, people died for the right for us to vote, and people should respect what the voters say. The other piece of it is, yes, the people who are doing this recall campaign have already spent $1 million, and they're committed to spend $4 to $5 million. If you're going to spend that kind of money, help us house our unhoused people. Help us get some mental health services. We need mental health clinicians in every agency and community-based organization, the city of Oakland, everyone. We're starving for mental health services for our family members. Help us get that. Help us fund our schools and pay our teachers. That's what we need. We don't need to waste $5 million on a recount of the first election.
For those that are just tuning in, you are listening to the voice of Alameda County District Attorney, Ms. Pamela Price. Ms. Pamela Price, there was a document that came out in the media that was discovered by the people that were against the recall, the campaign that was against the recall. Can you talk a little bit about what was inside of this document that people found?
Yeah, the campaign against the recall is called Protect the Win, because we are committed, and my supporters are committed, to protecting the win of the Alameda County voters. We took a huge step forward in 2022. The voters want police accountability. They want a criminal justice system that treats everyone fairly. We have to address the racial disparities that have infected the criminal justice system. And that is the way forward for Alameda County. So we are trying to protect the win and protect our progress and protect our right to vote and ultimately protect our democracy. And so the document that you're referencing shows that the people who are funding this effort to overturn the election, they don't care about public safety and they don't care about the democracy. What they care about are their property values. So the recall organization is very well structured. They have a separate fundraising arm. They have a separate political arm, and they're paying professional political people to run primarily a media campaign, and that's how they expect to spend the money, is on the media. And that's what it showed as well, that they had a timeline that was completely unrealistic. But the most important part was that they were willing to raise money. They were going to raise money from around the country, focusing on real estate investors and developers. And that who is the people that are actually going to fund this thing. And then also with respect to timing, they recognize that the way that they want to have this happen will cost the residents of Alameda County $15 to $20 million, and they're perfectly okay with that. And again, if our county has $15 to $20 million extra sitting around, we need to put that on mental health services. We need to have more community-based facilities for people who are severely mentally ill. We need to have better education services and better services for young people. We should be intervening in ways that protect public safety and not throwing away $20 million so that the people who lost the election can have another bite at the apple.
There's an economic recession that is taking grip in the Bay Area and also around other places around the country, we see on social media there's a concentration on crime in Oakland, and it's being blamed as causing an economic collapse in Oakland and also in San Francisco, but I know that's outside of your district. But in my opinion, there's not enough that is being focused on the overall economy. There's a lot of interest in crime. Do you feel that crime is being used as an excuse for the major economic problems that the United States is having? And when I say crime, I'm using that as a euphemism for black and brown young people in particular. They are basically being blamed for businesses closing, and to some smaller extent that may be contributing to it, but there's an economic depression. How do you see it as the district attorney?
Certainly, it has long been said, and I don't know if it was Malcolm X, but certainly one of our great historical leaders with respect to the liberation of black people always taught us that, you know, when white society catches a cold, the black community gets the flu. And we are still coming out of COVID, and we know that black people were disproportionately impacted. Black and Latino and Asian people actually were disproportionately impacted by the COVID virus. And it decimated economies, not just in this country, but worldwide economies. And so it will take us some years to get out of it. And one count, they said over 20 million people in America were unemployed due to the COVID-19 outbreak and the subsequent economic downturn. We are still dealing with the residue of that, and it's going to take time for us to get through that. At the same time, when you see a rise in crime that can be driven by a number of issues, economic deprivation is certainly one. Mental health is another. And, you know, it's when you are poor and struggling, it is hard to get services for mental health. And let's be clear, when we went through a worldwide pandemic, everybody had anxiety. We did not expect, and we were not prepared to be in lockdown for almost a year. It impacted our children, it impacted our elders, it impacted everyone in ways that we still have not reconciled. And there's a shortage of mental health services and clinicians that would have given us, you know, we don't have the kind of social net that to catch us when we all kind of went over that COVID cliff, all right? And so we're still coming back from that. And as you see, rise in crime and different manifestations of it around the country, we have to be able to look below sort of the headlines, because the headlines don't really tell us what is really happening. But we do know that people are using crime as a political weapon. They always have. And fear as a way of destabilizing communities. And so we have to push back at that. I was able to participate a couple of weeks ago in a unity ceremony where we brought together representatives from the African-American faith community and representatives from the Asian community and the Asian faith community. And we all came together, not as politicians, but as people, to talk about how do we heal our community. And that is what we all need to be focusing on, and rejecting the politics of hate and divisiveness that is, you know, manipulating our fears and our anxieties and our concerns about crime. And let me be clear, crime is a problem. Anytime, I want people to understand that anytime someone is a victim of crime, that's not okay. It is not okay for hurt people to hurt people. Okay, and at the district attorney's office, we are doing everything that we can on a daily basis to protect public safety, to hold people accountable. There is no free pass in Alameda County to come and shoot somebody or rob somebody or carjack somebody. We are not having it. Just like we are fighting human trafficking, we are holding people accountable for basic crimes, because that is not fair to the community. It destabilizes the community, and we have to fight back on that, and we are holding the line for our part. But it's not a one organization or a one type strategy. We all have to be part of the community that looks at how do we recover from the impacts of COVID, not just for some, but for all.
You were just listening to the voice of Alameda County District Attorney, Mrs. Pamela Price, right here on the Block Report with the People's Minister of Information, J.R. Valray. Ms. Pamela Price, thank you for coming on, and thank you for sharing your words and insight as to what's happening around us in Alameda County.
Thank you for having me. Take care.